the formation will be more according to the, well, the spirituality of the lay person and what does it mean to be a lay person. So the questions we want to answer in this talk are two. First, what does it mean to be a lay person? And second, what does it mean to be a lay person in the St. John community? If you want a name we can put to this talk is Agents of Change in the St. John community. So I took from the catechism, you can take one and pass it. This is our part of the catechism that talks about the deity. In the part of the people of God, the four notes of the church, has a whole extract. There are two main documents of the church, many, that talk about the deity. One is in Lumen Gentium, Light of the World. That's a Second Vatican Council document. The Catechism takes most of its ideas from that document. And also, I don't know how you say it in English, Christus Fidelitis, Laetis. I will find out and I'll give it to you, the name. So, first of all, the laity. The term laity, here it says, means all the faithful except those in holy orders and those who belong to a religious state approved by the Church. And the vocation of the lay person, I summarize it in this way. The Catechism talks also about the prophetic, the kinship, the prophetic office, the kinship, and the priestly office of the lay. I just summarize it in this way. But if you go and read the whole Catechism, you will find those three like goals of the lay, you know, to have a prophetic voice in the world, to have a priestly dimension of lifting up the world to God, and then a kinship, that Christ may be the Lord of everything. So in 899, can you read then that paragraph?
898, here.
Yes.
By reason of their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will. It pertains to them in a special way so to illuminate and order all temporal things with which they are closely associated, that these may always be affected and grow according to Christ, and maybe to the glory of the Creator and Redeemer.
So what is specific of the layperson is that second part of the sentence, no? Engaging in temporal affairs and directing them according to God's will, because both the layperson and the consecrated person, the priest or a sister or a monk, all of us, we seek the kingdom of God. But what is proper of the layperson is to seek it engaging in temporal affairs. No? What Jesus says, you are not of the world, but you are in the world. A good image is like, sometimes I imagine the world like, do you know how the ancient people thought that the stars were like holes and that the light was coming in because outside the world was a huge light, so the light was coming in through the stars. That was an image they had. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good image for a lay person. No, it's someone that, well, they are like the stars. They are like the holes through which God comes to the world. And well, how God goes to Danner Boots? Well, through a lay person, through the work of Chris. How God goes to your restaurant? Well, through a lay person. How God goes to Tech, how is the name of your company?
Tektronix.
Tektronix. I don't know for how long, but he will go there. But, well, through you, no? Through each one of us, through each lay person, God comes to the world. Through the lay person is the one that brings God to the world. There is a sentence there that says, lay believers are in the front line of the church life. The front line is like the soldier that is opening up. And it's the front line, you're in the battle, right there, where no one it is. And that's, well, I think that's very the specific aspect of the lay person. And second, it says the catechism, well, that lift up the world to God. It says, for all their works, prayers, and apostolic undertakings, family and married life, daily work, relaxation of mind and body are accomplished in the Spirit. If they are accomplished in the Spirit, all these become spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. So that's the second dimension of the lay person, is to lift up all what you do to God. You know? So in whatever you are doing, in your married life, or life of study, or life of work, well, it's not the same if there is a lay person in the state of grace offering those works, those studies, that time to God, than if there is no one. Because, well, you are offering that and making that a pleasing action to God. So that's the first idea I wanted to share. It's like an overview, we might see this again. But I think if we are deepening what does it mean to be a lay person, we need to have that basic. But the main thing I wanted to talk is, it's more giving a meditation, it's a long meditation, not so long, but long, of the call of the first apostles in the Gospel of John. John 1:39. Chris, can you read it? Read, please, till verse...
1:39?
Yeah, till 41. First, chapter 1, 35, till 41.
Okay.
The next day.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." That's 41. Do you want me?
Yeah, that's fine.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I think this is one of the most beautiful parts of the Gospel, for many reasons. First of all, we see, well, John the Baptist says he is the Lamb of God, and these two disciples followed Jesus. You know? And I think that's the first point of the meditation, that these two apostles, Andrew and John, they were attentive to God's voice. You know, maybe there were many disciples, but they were the two. But when they heard God's voice, when they heard the voice of John the Baptist, well, they decided to follow Jesus. And I think that's very unique of a lay person in the St. John community, that we see God in our daily life, you know, and we need to be attentive of God's presence in our daily life, as we talk in Maxim number 2. Well, because maybe many of them were... there, but not all of them listened to the voice of John the Baptist, and only two follow him. Well, why? Because they were attentive, they were seeking, they were open to God's reality in their life. And that has a tremendous impact, because they follow the voice of John the Baptist, they were with Jesus the whole day, and that encounter changed their life. You know? So I think that's the first point of meditation, that we need to be attentive to God's presence. And usually this means that we have to have a life of prayer, life of silence as well. It doesn't happen here very much, at least in this place, but in Argentina, when I lived in apartments, maybe if you want to hear like music or classical music or your music and enjoy and rest, and the neighbor starts to hear Metallica like da da da, like in a very loud way. Well, you cannot hear that voice, that music that you want to enjoy, because the other one is louder. So you need to ask, hey, can you turn off or turn down, lower down the volume? Because, well, the same with God's voice. God's voice is very subtle, very, in a sense, silent. And so we need to have our heart in peace and attentive. The second thing is, this gospel give us in three words, the key for evangelization and the key to understand what is a lay person. The apostles, they say, well, Master, where do you live? Where do you remain, is the translation. Where do you dwell? Then in the word dwell, abide, in the Gospel of John is very common. Because then, do you remember, abide in me as I abide in the Father. So the word, the question they made was very profound. Where do you dwell? Mm-hmm. Like Jesus dwells in his Father. But the answer of Jesus is even better, no? Like, come and see. I think that's the key. Jesus didn't give them like the first homily. No, like, okay, what do you do? I come from the Father. He said, come and see. No, he didn't say, okay, I'm the only begotten Son. I come from eternity, and my mother she's the mother of God, Immaculate Conception. He didn't begin like laying out like the whole content of the creed. He says, just come and see, come with me. Spend one day with me, and you will see what you are seeking. Because in my person, in my life, in my way of being, you will find who is God and who you are as well. No? So it's very amazing that's the main method of evangelization. Come and see. It's not teaching the truth. No, like, I don't say that the truth is not necessary. But sometimes we begin with the truth. No, like, the truth is... Well, people will reject that nowadays, because we live even in a non-Christian world. So the truth for some people is not appealing. It's not something that makes them change. So I imagine that day with Jesus. No, the Apostle John, he even remembers the time. He says it was three in the afternoon. It was four in the afternoon, no? Like, the Gospel of John is the one that was written the latest, maybe 50 years afterwards. But it was so shocking, the encounter with Jesus, that he remembered the time. Like, this was 3 in the afternoon, no? Like, do you remember the hour when you met Melissa?
I do.
It was so shocking to you, no? Well, the same with this, he kept that first encounter with Jesus in her heart, so profound, that he remembered the day, no? And I don't know, I picture myself in that day of the apostles, no? Like, what did they talk about? What questions did Jesus make? Maybe he asked them about their life, what were their fears? But they saw something in Jesus. Not only in what he said, but in his gestures, his eyes, in his way of walking. It was so profound that then he went to Peter and he said, we have found the Messiah. There's no doubt. In this person, God is dwelling. I don't know if you remember one of the maxims that we said, that grace assumes, restores, and lifts up nature. No, that is the principle that is behind the come and see. That the divine is revealed in the human nature of Jesus. How did people know that Jesus was God? Well, through his human nature. He had a human nature that was so perfect, so full of light, so complete, that people could say that he was God. No? John Paul II says, in the person of Jesus, the invisible is made visible, the divine made human. In his person, the face of God is made human, and the face of human becomes divine. And his humanity reflects his divinity. I imagine that for Andrew and John, that they might have seen the joy of Jesus, the love, the sense of mission. And I think that's the second point of this meditation, that the layperson has to evangelize, yes, through prayer, yes, through words, but mainly through irradiation. Do you have that word? To irradiate the divinity of God through our human nature. No? Like people, we need to say to the people, like, okay, you want to know God? Come and see. Be with me and you will find Jesus. No? These 3 weeks I had the opportunity to spend like a lot of time with Father Pablo. And after reflecting of what he did in these 3 weeks, what I see is not that what he said was what affected me the most. What affected me the most was his life. Like he's all day thinking in others. I cannot believe it. Like even like one day he couldn't go to sleep, and it was like midnight, and I saw the light of his bedroom on. So I went in and I asked, well, how are you doing? And we started talking, and he started saying, like, hey, you need to do this, and I'm like, he cannot stop. He's always saying things about others, how to improve, even when he's tired. Like, and that was what moved me the most to change. Just seeing his life, not so much what he said, but his life is the message I read. He was through Skype calling like Mandy and then Father Ivan, like talking with everyone. He saw all day. From the first minute he wakes up, thinking in others. So, and through his life, through his humanity, I see God. No, I think that's the way of evangelization that the lay person of the St. John community should seek to have, is to let Christ transform our humanity, as we said, right? To assume our nature, restore it, and lift up. So how important is to be all the human virtues, no? Like being responsible, being joyful, being loving, being self-giving, being organized, like all those things, they have something to do with grace and with evangelization. A question that we should always ask is, well, when people see my life, do they want to become like me? And if the answer is no, well, we need to change. Because we should be a hook for people, no? So in a way, the way of evangelization is not so much by the truth, but by the beauty of Jesus. No? Like this is appealing for me. If I do what this person does, I will become like him or like her. So I want to do it. Father Ivan told me that he went to a retreat. He didn't know the people, but he realized they were very secular people, like in a sense that they didn't have it was not the one of Juan Mas, and similar to that one. They didn't have like, okay, you're a priest, I have to respect you, or okay, this is the sixth commandment, I have to. So he had to give he gave a talk about sexuality, and he talked about theology of the body, but he didn't present it in a way of saying, okay, this is what you have to do. The catechism says this, the catechism says that. He showed it in a way that one of them, he said, this is cool, I think I want to try. You know, like, he was like, this is appealing, it's not because God said that I'm going to do it. Again, I'm not denying all that aspect. What I'm saying is that in the world there is a need of presenting the truth together with beauty, you know, and that's mainly through our life. So our human nature, our way of being, is a language that is a message that the people of today will read. You know? So if you say, no, I'm Catholic and I fast every day, I sleep on the floor, I take cold showers every day, well. But if they see, okay, joy in you, peace, a good friend, a good husband, well, I think that's the main way of evangelization. Come and see. And this irradiation has to transform the three main realities where the layperson lives. We always insist this because it clarifies. First, the family. No, you as a lay person, you are immersed, some in preparation, some already in fulfillment. No? So our family has to, people have to be able to, you have to be able to say, okay, come and see. So come and see the love that we have between the two of us, come and see the dialogue, come and see. Then in work, in our profession, being responsible, have magnanimity. And also we always said as the members of the St. John community to have what we call a noble cause, plus ultra. Do you have that word, plus ultra? No? It's like what we mean is, like, I don't know, maybe Chris, you can explain better this yourself. Like, when you work as an engineer or something that, a vocation that is not like so much social oriented, like maybe yours, well, you have a desire for something more. You have a desire of putting your skills into the service of others, no? That's what we call the noble cause. Like, okay, you have your family, your work, but also you have something else. In some professions, that something else is very united. Like if you're a doctor, well, maybe you don't need that something else. Or if you're a teacher, you don't need that something else because your profession in itself is a something else. No? Like Gary was sharing with me yesterday, like I work every day and it's a whole day of service. No? Like in itself, that's a something else. No? But those who have more like a technical job, well, maybe we need a something else in doing something for the poor, something for social justice, or a work of evangelization with college students, or in the future, young adults, or in the future, like leading like a family group in Portland or wherever. No? But we want to have those three main areas in our life: family, work, and the noble cause. And the third and last point of reflection is that another aspect of this gospel is that when you find Jesus, it's not like like an intimate encounter and just well, together with Jesus come our people. It's like when you get married. Well, it's not only your wife. Well, together with your wife come the siblings of your wife or your husband, the parents of your wife or husband, all the cousins, no? So together with that person, other persons come along, no? So the same happened to the disciples. When they went and they saw Jesus and they encountered Jesus, they encountered all the others who followed Jesus. No? So maybe in that day of John and Andrew, in that evening, in that afternoon, they met Mary. They met our disciples that were following Jesus. We don't know if they were the only two disciples. But yet we know that later they found other members in the community. And that's the last point of the meditation, is that well, the importance of the St. John community as a community of life, as a community to grow in spiritual life. As Father Guillermo always says to me, like, we are friends in the friend. No, friends with lowercase and friend with uppercase, no? Friends in the friend. We are friends of each other because each one of us is a friend of Jesus. It's like the wheel of the bicycle that has the center and all the rays that come out. The closer you become to the center, that is Jesus, well, the closer we are with each other. You know? And think of each one of us. Without the flower, without Jesus, I don't think we would be here. How would I know Carrie? How do I know Erin? Or how would Erin know Chris? Well, we are here because we are part of that wheel of the bicycle, because in the center is Jesus. And the closer we become to Jesus, the closer we become to each other. So I invite you in as a second point of meditation is, first of all, to have a sense of identity. Well, I belong to a church, yes, but I belong to a church through the St. John community. It's like the vine and the branches. Well, yes, I belong to the divine world, but the branch that feeds me, that nourishes me, is the Saint John community, no? The Saint John society as well. And then also to remember, well, that and I experienced this in most of the groups of the Saint John society, no? That this is a special gift of the presence of Jesus among us. And you can tell in a group when Jesus is there and when Jesus is not. You can tell in a group because of the joy, because of what the comments they do, because of the desires they have, because of the goals they have. Well, Jesus is there or Jesus is not there. No? So unfortunately, many times in the church, there are groups that they gather, but Jesus is not there. No? So well, we hope and we pray that in this community, in this particular community, that promise of Jesus will always be fulfilled. So that when you come here, you experience the presence of Jesus and you go out stronger in your faith. I think it's very important to understand that the Saint John community is a means to an end. Like, we don't come here and you stay here the whole week, no? Okay, this, we always give the example of the gas station. Well, you come here, you nourish your faith, we grow in our friendship, we grow in our friendship with Jesus, and then we go out to take Jesus to the world. So I invite you to grow in that sense of identity and also to grow in the commitment to each other. I know that it's difficult because of the distance right now. Maybe without this community you would not be friends. But also to have that supernatural view, you know, like we're called to be a strong community. You are just beginning, but I'm sure that in 5 years this will be larger, you know, like now we are beginning a second generation. This is a secret, but there are very strong possibilities that we will be in Portland soon, you know, so also that will be easier, you know, to continue this work of evangelization. So keep on walking with faith and hope. So those are many things I have to say about the lay person in Saint John community. I think some things during the year will be repeated because they are important and it's good to understand them. So I don't know if